We certainly are appreciative of the attendance that we have on a Sunday night. We expect our best attendance on Sunday morning, and we do fall off quite a bit on Sunday night and Wednesday night, but I truly believe we have even better study together on a Wednesday night. I think we can have more challenging lessons on a Wednesday night, on a Sunday night. So I really do appreciate the Sunday night crowd. Have you ever tried to carry on a conversation with someone that just wasn't paying attention? Maybe you have something very important to say, but it's almost like their mind is a million miles away. Well, not only is that disrespectful, it's also very rude. So let's never try to do that. Now let's apply that to our lesson. What do you think goes through God's mind when he tries to communicate with us through the Bible, and it seems that our mind is a million miles away? And what you and I might talk about might be very, very important, but what he talks about with us in the Bible is eternally important. So let's make sure we always listen to God. Our text ultimately is going to come from Psalm 81. It's going to be a few more minutes before we get there and make that reading. But if you have your device or your Bible and would like to, turn to Psalm 81. In this psalm, we're going to hear once again about the time in the Old Testament when God was trying to communicate with his children, the Israelites. And as we said in our introduction, their mind was a million miles away. They just really didn't care what God had to say. And brethren, it always fascinates me, and maybe that's the wrong word, it always alarms me when I realize that God might perform a great miracle before the eyes of the Israelites, and maybe just a few days, weeks, or months later, they're going off into idolatry once again. I just do not understand that. Of course, it does sound like what our society does, but our society doesn't see the physical miracles of God. But they would tune God out. And in this particular case, once again, he is giving them warning about false deities, about false idols. You remember all the way back in Exodus chapter 20 when Moses had led the children out of Israel. They stop at the base of Mount Sinai. Moses goes upon the top of the mountain, and God with his very own finger writes out what we call the Ten Commandments. Among those commandments was, this sounds pretty emphatic to me, thou shalt have no other gods before thee. No graven images, nothing at all except God. But then we get to 1 Kings chapter 17. What have the Israelites done? They've given themselves over to false gods, though God said, don't do that. Evidently, they had tuned him out. Evidently, they did not listen. Evidently, they were doing what they wanted to do. And do you remember what happened to Israel? Okay, let me go ahead and tell you and remind you. In 722 BC, or approximate, God allowed the Assyrian army to come and really just conquer Israel. That was the northern tribes. Just conquer Israel. And since they didn't listen to God, since they didn't follow his will, they went into captivity, really never to be heard of again. That's what happened to the 10 tribes of Israel. Now, we're to our text. Psalm chapter 81, or Psalm 81. In fact, let's back up to verse 8 and kind of get a running start. This is God speaking. Listen, O my people, and I will admonish you, O Israel. Listen to me. There shall be no foreign gods among you, nor shall you worship any foreign gods, for I am the Lord your God. Now verse 11. But my people would not listen to my voice. Israel would have none of me, so I gave them over to their own stubborn heart. I like that translation. I gave them over to their own stubborn heart, to walk in their own counsel. Oh, that my people would listen to me. Oh, that Israel would walk in my ways. There was a commercial for an insurance agency a number of years ago. I don't even remember what it was. You might tell me afterwards. No, it was a group that would invest your money for you. When Merrill Lynch, no, it wasn't Merrill Lynch, but when he speaks, everybody listens. But when God speaks, he wants everyone to listen. Everyone has something to hear, and not only hear, but also follow what God has to say. My lesson tonight is mostly introduction. We'll get to the lesson actually earlier, but my introduction has 2 points. First of all, how does God communicate with us today? Now, in times past, God used various and sundry ways to communicate with his people. For example, in Genesis chapter 12, God communicated with Abram, who would later be renamed Abraham, but he communicated him with a direct revelation. He said to Abram, leave your country, leave your people, etc., and go to a land that I will show you. He spoke directly to him. Now, I found in my research for this particular lesson, most people like me believe that God spoke directly to Abraham, that God spoke and Abraham heard God speak with his ears, much like when Jesus spoke to Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. He heard Jesus' voice and he accepted Jesus' call. Acts chapter 9, verse 4. Sometimes God speaks in direct revelation. There was some that felt that God spoke directly to Abram's heart or directly to his mind, and maybe he did it that way. I think he spoke audibly and Abraham heard him. That's direct revelation. Sometimes God would speak through his prophets, and we name all of those prophets. In Jonah chapter 1, God said, go to Nineveh. He told him, go to Nineveh. Cry out against that city. Their sin has come up before me. He spoke through Hosea. He said, the Lord began to speak through Hosea. Hosea was one of the major prophets for the northern kingdom as well. Sometimes he spoke through angels. You remember God sent the angel Gabriel to Mary, the mother of Jesus, saying, you're going to have a son. Name him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. In fact, kind of a wrapping up or a summation of this is given in Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past through the prophets to the people. Let's pause right there, because my next question is, how does God communicate with us today? Let's begin in Hebrews 1 again. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, through whom or by whom he has also made the world. So God speaks to us today. He speaks to us today through his Son. Now, one of my favorite lines of thought is to back up to John chapter 1, where John says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Later in the same first chapter of John, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, that's Jesus. And Jesus brought the embodiment of God's teaching to us. We can call it the Word, or we can call it the New Testament. I don't think we really have a problem calling it even the whole Bible. But through the Bible, God communicates with us today, because the Bible is the complete revelation of God. As Jude said, the faith once and for all time delivered unto the saints. So the Bible is God's instruction book, or his blueprint, or his pattern, or whatever we want to say, but it is the binding agent on our lives. Now, in the Old Testament, it was the law of Moses. You remember when Joshua was about to take control of the Israelites and lead them into Canaan's land, God speaks to him, be strong, be courageous, I'll be with you. And he reminded him that they are to keep, he is to make sure the Israelites keep all the commandments that my servant Moses gave you. So the Old Testament was for them. The Old Testament, though, was fulfilled at the cross of Jesus. He nailed it to his cross to Today, we're bound by the New Testament. So just as Joshua's guide was the law of Moses, our guide is the law of Jesus Christ, which is called the royal law or the perfect law. Now, we all know that, but how does God communicate through his Son? Well, if you read your Bible, God is communicating with you. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that you and I may be completely or perfectly or thoroughly furnished unto every good work. So when we read the Bible, God is communicating with us. If our preacher or our teachers are also using the truth of the Bible, they are also communicating. That is also God communicating with us through them. Now, we have the responsibility to make sure that that preacher and teacher is teaching the truth, and we use as our proof text the Bereans, Acts chapter 17. They searched the scripture daily to prove what they were being taught was actually the truth. So when the Bible is being taught, read, as long as the preacher, teacher is teaching the truth, that is God communicating with us. Now, that's our introduction. Here's our very brief three-point lesson. If we are to listen to God's word, I want to ask the question, what kind of listener are we? We believe that God's word is the truth. We believe that the truth will make us free. We accept the fact that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. If we're listening to the truth, what kind of listener are we? I want to identify three. First of all, there is the passive listener. Now, by passive listener, I'm referring to a Christian who probably does read the Bible from time to time. When one of our young men, or not so young men, reads the scripture before the lesson, they listen to the scripture. They probably follow with the scripture when the teacher or even the preacher is teaching or preaching. They will find the scripture and they will listen to the scripture. But it doesn't affect their lives. When the wording is over, they give it no second thought. Maybe they think the Bible is a beautiful book, a very interesting book, but to them, so is Robinson Crusoe. Maybe they think the Bible gives a lot of wonderful advice, but they also think Aesop's fables have some wonderful advice. Maybe they think the preacher is just justifying himself so they might listen to him. He might give an interesting story from time to time, so they'll listen to what he says, but they never realize that the Bible is speaking to him and about him. That's a passive listener. Now, I have known preachers who Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday preach about man's need to love God and love each other, but his message is never applied. Or that preacher might preach Sunday after Sunday the teaching that Jesus gives in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, but it never affects their life. Or maybe the preacher preaches time and time again the need to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. And he proves each of those points using not only Jesus' words, but other scripture in the Bible. He proves it beyond any shadow of a doubt, week after week after week. But a passive listener just does not allow it to affect him at all. So obviously, though he is listening, he has no intention of applying that teaching to his life. Or at least he's listening per se, but the message never penetrates the man's heart. He's hearing words, but that's all they are to him, just words. That is a passive listener. Now, what's going to happen to passive listeners? Well, Paul says to the Thessalonians. Now, remember, the Thessalonians were probably the congregation that asked more questions about the second coming of Jesus than any other congregation. Paul, in his first and second letter, talks about the coming of Jesus. In his second letter, the very first chapter in verse 8, Paul says, God will punish those who do not know him and do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are passive listeners. The second group I want to talk about are selective listeners. Now, if you're a parent, you know what selective listening is. And even more so, if you're a wife thinking about your husband, you really know what selective listening is. Selective listening is only hearing what we want to hear. Now, I don't know about all husbands, but my hand is raised. I just hear what I want to hear. Now, an example of a selective hearer. The preacher preaches on the essentiality of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But this selective hearer, hearing all of the essentiality of faith, says, oh, faith only. I'm saved by faith only. That's not what the Bible says, and that's probably not what the preacher said either, because the Bible also says without faith, our works are dead, or faith without works is dead. So we need to listen to all of the Bible. As Paul says, the whole counsel of God, not just what we want to hear. John writes in 2 John verse 9, whoever transgresses, now that word is elsewhere translated sin, and it actually means missing the mark. If you're shooting a rifle or a bow and arrow or something, and you completely miss the target, that's called transgression, or as we say, sin. Now the target that we're trying to hit is the Word of God. So we need to hit the target with our lives. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. Now that's pretty emphatic. If we transgress and do not live in the teaching of God, we do not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Selective listener. Now, one of my favorite places to eat is a cafeteria. I like to go to a cafeteria because I can say I want that and that and that and that. And I don't want that and that and that and that. But a lot of Christians want to be cafeteria Christians. They hear the whole counsel of God and they say, well, I'll accept that and that and that and that. But I'm just not going to listen to these other things because I just don't want to hear it. That's selective hearing. The final group, of course, is sensitive or sincere listeners. That's what we need to be, sincere listeners. We need to have that feeling of wanting to know what the Bible has to say. And if there is application that needs to be made, we need to make that application. So a sincere listener wants to know what's right and wrong. And if I'm doing what's right, I want to continue doing that. But if I'm doing what's wrong, I need to alter my life. A sincere listener wants an accurate rendering of God's word. Like the Bereans, I want to search the scripture to make sure what I'm hearing is actually the truth. And as Jesus says in Matthew 7:7, a sincere listener wants to be a hearer, but he wants to be a doer as well. You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 11, I know this is going back to the Old Testament, but the precedent is set. Those who do God's will be blessed. Those who listen to God's word and apply it to their lives will be blessed. But those who do not, Deuteronomy 11 says, will be cursed. So, does God communicate with us today? Exactly, he does. How does he do it? Well, he does it through the Bible, the New Testament, through the embodiment of Jesus' teaching. We can learn it by reading the scripture. We can find preachers and teachers that are preaching and teaching the truth and learn it through them. We can learn it in a Bible class setting, which is by far the best way to learn the Bible. Or we can learn it on our own. But God wants us to go to heaven. So he's given us an accurate rendering of his will. There'll be no confusion on the day of judgment. We'll know what we did that was right. We'll know what we did that was wrong. And the books will be open. The Lamb's Book of Life and the Book of the Bible. The books will be open. Let's make sure we're listening to God. Now concerning salvation, it's very obvious what Jesus teaches. We need to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Now sometimes we in the church are criticized for making it such a simple thing. We didn't make it simple. Jesus made it simple. The difficulty comes when we try to continue living for Jesus every day of our life. But perhaps there is someone tonight that needs to be baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. Or perhaps you need prayers of strength, forgiveness, whatever the case may be. The number has been given. Tommy will come up to the microphone now. If you need to respond to Jesus, won't you come as we stand together and as we sing.